This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.
Why should you listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand?
We're not boring. A lot of news is boring.
And tedious.
And depressing.
And makes you angry. You don't want to live your life like that.
Hey, I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty.
We're Armstrong and Getty.
We try to bring you the truth.
And help you figure out this crazy modern world.
How about something about a comedic tone?
We have a winner.
Yes. Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Another hour of the Jesse Kelly Show on a spectacular Friday, cruising right into the weekend. And hey, a little bit of good news before we get back to the Ask Dr. Jesse questions. Jobs market looking strong.
This is Big March. Jobs report. Non-farm payrolls beats estimates, 228,000 jobs. That would be the strongest this year, and it would comp to 323,000 in D's of last year.
How about that? Jobs. All right, anyway, this hour, I'm going to address the hate mail here in a moment. Somebody wants to talk about the ancient world and maps, arranged marriages, bitter candy or a candy biter versus a candy sucker, all that, NGOs, and so much more coming up in the second hour of the world-famous Jesse Kelly Show. Before I get to any of that, I should go ahead and give you a heads up on something. And I really shouldn't do what I'm about to do because it's, well, I'll tell you in a second. History's coming again next week. And the reason I shouldn't do it, I said, is I'm not sure if it's coming Monday or Tuesday. I believe it's coming Monday. I am going to go ahead and tell you what it's going to be on since I've mentioned it before. And if you've listened to the show, you know that I've been hot on this. The World War One, not two, the World War One Italian front. The front nobody knows anything about. Okay. I'm just gonna give you a heads up right now. I'm obsessed with this topic now. I have been reading, listening, watching everything I can get my hands on for 2 weeks now. I'm so deep into my obsession of this, I don't know when I'm going to come out of it. I went into this with not much of actually a working knowledge. I knew the basics, but not much of a working knowledge of the subject at hand. And I just think I can't get enough of it now. I don't know how many episodes this one's going to go. It may honestly be one. I never know when I'm going into it because I don't plan out what we're going to talk about. But Monday, I would say almost undoubtedly, Monday, start of the second hour, we'll probably do Medal of Honor Monday, and then we're doing history. Now, my only disclaimer for that is, the reason I said I'm not sure if it's Monday or Tuesday is this little bit. As you've probably noticed, we've been doing a lot more history just because I'm into it. I'm geeking out on it again, and screw it, that's what I feel like doing. Sometimes Mondays are harder days to do it because there are big news stories that drop that I have to talk about. So if there's something major that happens over the weekend, and there definitely could be, I might have to push it to Tuesday, okay? Tentatively, Monday, Tuesday, I already told you what it's going to focus on, and I'm so unreasonably excited about it. You know who else is excited about it? My family, because they're really excited that I'll stop talking to them about it at the house because I keep bringing it up to Ob and the kids. And Ob finally had to tell me this morning, baby, I don't care. Okay. I don't care. What, Chris? You're right, Chris. I'm not going to stop anyway. I can't stop at this point in time. I can't stop. All right. Back to, ooh, hate mail. I saw Jesse's weak, soft comments on Trump's trade war today. You're a smart guy. You know, beep, beep, well, that Trump is lying that Americans won't pay the cost of his tariffs and that he did not mention crashing the stock market during his campaign. You're not doing anyone any favors by failing to call out Trump's beep unless you like communists mounting a strong. Listen, maybe it's been too long since we've had this talk, so we're going to have this talk again. All right. I don't wave anybody's pom-poms, and I also don't rage against the person you've decided is the Antichrist. When it comes to Donald Trump, I fully recognize that he is this mega figure in American politics. As of right now, how wild is this? It's not even debatable. As of right now, Donald Trump is the figure on the globe in the 21st century. If the 21st century ended today, Donald Trump would be the headline of it. That's how big Donald Trump is. He just is. He's an industry of to himself. The whole world knows him. So because he is this monumental figure, what that does is it generally creates one of two emotions in people. Lots of people, they love everything he does. They love everything he does. He can do no wrong. He's this huge figure. Everything he touches turns to gold. He's always a genius. He always has it all figured out. He's everything perfect. That's some people. The other half of the people, and this is how it always works for these huge figures. There's very little middle ground. The other half, everything he does is stupid. Trump's a moron. Trump sucks. Trump's this. Trump's that. And I'm here to tell you, I'm not in either of your camps. And I'm sorry, because that's so difficult to hear. Because here's the truth. When you love someone like that, when a figure becomes that big to you like that, you want to hear affirmation of that at all times. And if there's ever a moment where you don't hear that, you get angry. Well, you criticize Trump. Well, you know more than Trump. Trump, I love him. And vice versa. Like this moron. You're smarter than that. Trump's tanking the market. It's been 2 days. It's been 2 days. And by the way, maybe he will tank the market. I'm not even saying he won't. Maybe the tariffs will tank the market. Nothing's tanked. There's no Great Depression. I know it was a really bad day. I understand that. But guys like this, they will rage against everything Trump does because they've already decided that everything he does is stupid. He's the Antichrist. And you're going to be mad at me all the time, too, because I like a lot of what Trump does. There are some things I don't like, and I tell you about that. And there are a lot of things I like, and I tell you about that. This is never going to be a Donald Trump is the savior or Donald Trump is a demon show. And if that's what you're looking for, man, you came to the wrong place. And again, just like we opened up the first hour, I have great news for you. Almost every other show is in one of the two camps. Almost every other show in the country, you can go turn on any show and it'll be 3 hours of Trump this, Trump that. I love Trump. You see the smart thing Trump did? Let's play 85 Trump sound bites. It's Trump speech and Trump, Trump, go MAGA Trump. And then you flip the channel, it'll be some other guy who'll talk about how dumb Trump is all the time. You're never getting that here. That's not how I look at the world. I never once have looked at anybody, any politician ever, any of them, and based my political opinions on what they say or what they think. I have my own political views about the way I want things run and the way I think things should be run. And I hope you have your own views. And I'll say this, as I've said before, I hope you don't align with me on everything. I have strong opinions. I bet you some of them are wrong. I hope you think through everything yourself. Everything yourself. This kind of deranged cussing at me, all this other stuff. You've already decided Donald Trump is wrong about everything. So let me repeat what I've said about tariffs already. In general, I'm not a tariff guy. Also, we can't survive a war, which will come, without a manufacturing base. We must bring it back. Also, nobody, not the pro-tariff, not the anti-tariff, nobody, not a single person on the television, on the radio, or even in the White House, nobody knows whether or not these tariffs will work in the end. Nobody does. This is one of these things that hasn't been done in ages. The global economy has changed. It might work fantastically, and it might be an unmitigated disaster. Nobody knows, including this moron who just cussed at me in the emails. We will find out, and we're going to find out together. And If I have to say something completely in Trump's camp, I'll repeat myself on this. If you are shocked, stunned that Trump did tariffs, you should probably do some more research. Donald Trump is on camera for decades ago, before he even sniffed politics, talking lovingly about tariffs and reciprocal trade. And Donald Trump has campaigned on these issues. And, oh, you have one from 1988, Chris? That's hilarious. Well, yeah, it's from the 80s. And he campaigned on it this time, all the time. He was always talking about it. I'm actually shocked at how many people are shocked. Trump told you he was going to do it. He never once said, I'm a free trader. He doesn't believe in that. Trump believes in tariffs. He believes in protectionism. That's what he believes in. We're all going to ride this horse together, and we'll see if she bucks us. All right? What, Chris? That's a good saying. Anyway, let's talk about the ancient world. Maps. Let's talk about speed dating. I'm talking about not actual dating, but speed dating your potential employees. Wouldn't that be easier? Rather than reaching out, exchanging emails, maybe a phone call, and then you have to line up a quick meeting, and hopefully they show up for the interview. You know ZipRecruiter? They have Zip Intro now. So what happens is you post your job, right? And then what happens is the candidates line up, and you do back-to-back, real quick, video calls. Just a quick assessment of who the person is. Is this person, do they have potential? Is this person a good fit for your company? Or is it someone like Chris? You can know right away and not waste your time with interviews and follow-up things like that. You get to try that free. You realize that? At ZipRecruiter.com/Jesse, you try that for free. You post a job today. You talk to qualified candidates tomorrow. ZipRecruiter.com/Jesse. We'll be back.
Missed out? Catch up. JesseKellyShow.com.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a fantastic Friday. Do not forget, you can email the show love, hate, death threats, even your Ask Dr. Jesse questions. We're live here. Email those into Jesse@JesseKellyShow.com. Of course, if you miss any part of the show, you can download the whole thing on iHeart, Spotify, iTunes. Let's nerd out on something here. Hey, Jesse. I heard you talking about maps on Wednesday night, and I had to get your take on the Piri Reis map that's 500 years old and shows the coasts of Antarctica and South America long before explorers ever went there. Do you think mankind's history goes back further than we're told, or that it's wrong slash incomplete, or some combination of the two? How would you explain this map otherwise? Thanks. He says I can use his name. His name is Brian. Okay, so I'm going to set aside this specific map for just a minute. And I want to talk about something. Something that actually bothers me a great deal. And now that I bring it up, it's going to bother you. But it's always bothered me, and it always will. It always will. We know a teeny tiny percentage of the history of the world. A minuscule percentage of it. The number, look, pick a number. It's less than 10%. Way less than 10%. And get this. What we know, most of that is inaccurate. Because we don't have enough sources. We don't have enough picture, video. The sources we do have, they're incredibly biased sources. You know what the main resource is for something like Julius Caesar's invasion of Gaul? Julius Caesar took a Roman army, he invaded Gaul, massacred millions of people, and conquered Gaul. Julius Caesar's the one who told us about it all. He's the main source. I've read it, actually. I've read a translation of it. That's how big of a nerd I am. And it's amazing. He's a great writer. Of course, I'm getting the translated version into English. He's a great writer, but we have Julius Caesar's version of it. And we don't have the Gallic version of it because they didn't write anything down. You know what? Think about Africa. You ever thought about this? It actually bothers me a lot. Africa is this huge continent. that I've never been, but all I see is the pictures, the videos, same thing you see. Looks freaking beautiful, from the waterfalls to the Sahara to the jungles. It just looks beautiful. And on this massive continent, there have been peoples for a long time, but we don't know much about it. In fact, I don't know that I'll ever do. In fact, maybe I've done one on the Boers, but I haven't been able to do much African history because we don't know much African history because they weren't writing anything down. The only things we know about really old history, they come from the few societies who A, wrote something down, and B, it managed to last through the ages. Have you ever wondered the Library of Alexandria? The Library of Alexandria, that's right. Have you ever looked that up? I forget what the number is because it's been a few years since I looked it up. The incredible volume of things that were in there, of knowledge that was in there from the ancient world. Chris, look up the exact date that burnt, if you don't mind. Just the year is fine. But wealth of knowledge, heaps and heaps of knowledge were in there. It burnt. Only this wasn't a time where they had legacy box. Nobody digitized any of these things. That fire ended it. That fire, it didn't just burn up a bunch of documents. It robbed us of all that knowledge. And isn't this sad? I don't know why I'm nerding out on this. We'll never get it back. Because there weren't copies. Like I said, it wasn't on the cloud. It's just gone forever. When Genghis Khan's Mongols, Genghis was dead by now, but when Genghis Khan's Mongols, when they put Baghdad to the torch, they completely wiped out Baghdad, supposedly, oh, it was the year 48, Library of Alexandria, but supposedly, when the Mongols burned down Baghdad, the Muslims who were running it, obviously at the time, they supposedly had a library very similar with incredible works from all throughout history. Who knows what was in there? Well, the freaking Mongols didn't give a crap about any of that or history or anything like that. Simply lit the place on fire, murdered everybody, and moved on. Think about what we don't know. Think about that. It's nuts. Now, as far as sea exploration goes, in reference to your map, that I don't know. Because here's the truth. Most of the expeditions, they had to stay really close to shore. The Vikings were the very, very rare people who were brave enough when they had things just right to get out on the open ocean for a little while. And even then, it was basically a death sentence before they learned more about navigation and getting through the waves and things like that. I don't even know why I brought it up. It's just something that's always bothered me. We have this love of history and we don't know jack. We don't know anything about it. It's crazy. And by the way, I wasn't joking about the legacy box thing. This is why you need to digitize your pictures. That fire, that can happen to your house tonight. I know that's a horrible thought. I hope it doesn't, but one fire, one spark, one wire that's wrong, and that wedding album's gone, and you're never getting those pictures back. All those home movies, all those VHS tapes, camcorder tapes, one fire. You don't have digital copies of those, do you? They're gone forever. You don't ever get to look at that family vacation again. Your daughter's wedding. Get your stuff digitized. And that, look, Legacy Box, after they digitize it, they'll send it back to you. It's not like they keep it. This is a company, an American company. They do this in Tennessee. I've trusted them with all of my home movies and pictures, myself and my father. That's how much I love these guys. They have a huge special right now on home movies too. It's just $9 a tape. Don't wait until there's a fire and then regret it, please. Legacybox.com/Jesse. Legacybox.com/Jesse. We'll be back.
Missed out?
Catch up.
JesseKellyShow.com.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a spectacular Friday, and Ask Dr. Jesse Friday, having a blast. I wanted to address this Ellie Mistel media tour he's going on to sell his book. I played a little clip of it earlier, but I played it, and the responses have been, well, I'll play it again real quick.
South Africa got over apartheid. Did they just go back to their Afrikaner racist constitution and be like, oh, we just need a couple of amendments. We just need a couple of changes here to make it work. No, they threw the whole thing out and started again.
Bunch of people were yelling that I called him a communist and saying, he's just a black racist who hates white people. So let's have this talk again because people miss this. Is this guy a black racist who hates white people? Oh my gosh, yes, of course. But you're missing it, you see. If I want to burn this building down, we're in this huge building. I bet you there's 1,000 people who work in this building. And I want to get a bunch of people together and I want to burn the building down. Well, what I have to do as an evil person who wants to burn it down, I have to find a way to recruit enough people with an axe to grind against the building. And everybody's axe might be different. Maybe I bounce from office to office to office in the building and I say, hey, you're paying too much for rent, aren't you? You're paying too much for rent. Are you paying too much for rent? These people are ripping you off. Can you believe these guys are paying? Maybe that's my axe to grind. Maybe there's an office full of women who are cold all the time, like all women are. And I pop in there and maybe I tell the women, don't you think the air conditioning works too well here? Don't you think it's too cold here? Aren't you mad? Aren't you mad that it's cold all the time? You've got a space heater, don't you? It's cold all the time, isn't it? Maybe, pick your grievance. The point is not the specific grievance. The point is I'm recruiting foot soldiers. And as someone who's recruiting foot soldiers, I need foot soldiers who are angry at who I want destroyed, and I will say whatever I have to the different groups in order to bring the foot soldier into my camp so we can burn down the building. So when I say, oh, look at that street animal with the climate change sign who's throwing paint on a Tesla, you can say, Jesse, that's not a communist. That's just one of these climate change guys. You don't understand. That's what the communist elites do. Communism is the religion of the malcontent, and they don't care about what you're malcontented against. They just need you bitter and angry, and they will take your bitterness and your anger, and they will use it for their own purposes. They will aim you at what they want destroyed, and because you are consumed with bitterness and evil, you will do it. So America's Democrats, what are the different factions? Well, it's all malcontents. What a shock. Oh, look, feminists. Jesse, that's not a communist. She's just a feminist. Yes, the communist has used her hatred of men and her love of Subarus to help destroy the people the communist hates. Oh, Jesse, this black guy, he just hates white people. Yes, I don't think that black guy's at home studying Marx. I know that. He hates white people. The communists can use that hatred for his own evil ends. And so he will recruit that guy in, aim them at his political enemies and say, there, kill Whitey. And he goes, I know the various street animals from the various street groups. I know they're not all committed communists who've done a lot of reading on Marx. I understand that. That's why it's the religion of the malcontent. The religion of the malcontent sits as an umbrella over all of the various angry, bitter groups in any country. And this is not unique to America. In fact, race communism. A lot of people are under the impression that this is an American thing since the communists infiltrated the civil rights movement and they've used it, so they think it's an American thing. Mao used this without end to slaughter people. We look at China and we think, wow, they're all Chinese. No, they're not. China has the same kind of history everyone else has, where it used to be this group and it used to be that group and this tribe and that tribe. And there's little differences between them. And it's not hard to get them divided up. Hey, you see those people? Those are the dirty kind of Chinese. Those are the ones who oppressed you. Hey, here's a billy club. Go beat one of them to death. Mao used that without end. The Soviets used it without end. They always use things other than communism to sell the revolution. You see? That makes sense? Jesse, I was just listening to your 326 podcast. Good grief, buddy. You're behind. Anyway, the guy actually says, yes, I'm behind. Anyway, you were on fire. I loved it. I agree with your analysis of the judge issue. Question. What are your feelings on arranged marriage? Would you ever consider arranging a marriage for your sons? Yes, in a heartbeat. I'm a big believer in it. I know that's horrible. I know it makes me a terrible Neanderthal. Arranged marriages around the world have a lot of success, and historically they've had a lot of success. Freaking biblical, Chris, even in the Old Testament. But why is that? Well, unlike my sons, look, young men and young women, there's nothing wrong with being young, okay? I'm not one of these people who talks down to young people, but we'll make it about young men, for instance. How is it that some young men end up marrying communists? Well, women are so hot. And when you're a young man, sometimes that's all you can see. And maybe she even laughs at your jokes, and it just becomes, I remember what it was like when I was 20 years old. It becomes intoxicating. You can't see anything outside of it. Me? I'm 43. I can look at her, her values, her family. Does the family she come from, does her family's values line up with my family's values? Because if they do, then she's likely going to align. Her and my son are likely going to align on things. These are critical things that a parent who wants what's best for their child can dispassionately analyze. I'll tell you this. I know this is going to make me sound like a freak. My wife and I, my sons are 14 and 16. They don't even have girlfriends right now. We're already praying for their wives, that they find good ones. I'm not even making that up, because we've seen so many times with so many of our friends, guys and gals, who've ruined their lives by marrying the wrong person, and they're just always miserable. And we're just, it's one of those things that you need to get right. How many people listening? Is this you who've gotten a divorce because you ended up marrying the wrong one? Don't beat yourself up, by the way. People make mistakes. Everyone does. How'd that work out for you? Marrying the wrong one. It's a life sucker, isn't it? It's a joy sucker. Maybe you're a woman right now, or a man right now. Maybe you're avoiding going home because it's horrible there. Wouldn't that be horrible? Rather than being excited to go home, wouldn't it be horrible to have that? Oh yeah, big believer in arranged marriages. Dear doorway head cocker, skittle popper. Which, a critical question, are you a hard candy biter or a hard candy sucker? My guess is you don't have the patience or time to suck through a jawbreaker and with all your accredited community college hours. But what about your mode of enjoyment for breakable hard candies? I'm not sure that I have ever sucked a piece of hard candy down to the very end of it. I am very much a biter. I will get the hard candy down to even a little bit. I'll even, if it's like a Jolly Rancher, which are delicious. Chris, did they still make those Jolly Ranchers? You never see them anymore. Anyway, if it's like a Jolly Rancher, I'll just basically get the edges off of it, and I'll immediately start probing to see if I can bite through it yet. Why are you shaking your head, Chris? Are you a sucker? It's not that it's, well, yes, they are too sticky, but that wasn't the point. Why do you have to bring up something that wasn't the point at all, Chris? I know Jolly Ranchers are too sticky. Are you a candy sucker or a biter, Chris? Chris said half and half. I'm a biter. But I'm also not huge on sweets, as a matter of fact. I realized I was eating Skittles on the radio with BK the other day, and I do like some Skittles, but I'm not huge on dessert. I'd much rather have fat, like cheese and bread and stuff. Like, that's my jam. Anyway, that's why I need to get vitamins and minerals from some other way, just like your dog does. I got this email. Hey, Jesse, I got a golden doodle recently, and I'm totally in love with this spirited dog. They are the best. I named my puppy Jesse, and he responds to it eagerly. I bet he has huge paws. I've been adding rough greens to his puppy food, and he responds by giving me lots of licks. I also made him a Jesse Kelly burger, and he gobbled it up with delight. I do have a question. My puppy sulks if he's alone. Any advice? A WOR Jesse Kelly fan. How about that? Yeah, you're never going to get that out of them. Fred is not happy unless everybody is not only home, but surrounding him and pouring love on him at all times. But yeah, I'm glad you're giving him rough greens, man. Give your puppy, your old dog, and everything in between, sprinkle rough greens on their food so you can have that dog as long as possible. Rough greens will keep your dog alive and keep your dog healthy. Free jumpstart trial bags at 833-33-MY-DOG or go to roughgreens.com/Jesse. We'll be back.
The Jesse Kelly Show.
It's still real to me, damn it!
Returns next.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a wonderful Friday, and Ask Dr. Jesse Friday, and we'll touch on a little bit of news here before we get back to some Doge stuff that may be hard to hear. Here's Antonio Gracias.
Once you're in the country and you've got asylum through one of these pathways, we've mapped the whole thing out, you can apply for a work document. You file a 765, it's the work form. You get this form called the 766, that's the authorization, and then Social Security Administration automatically sends you in the mail your Social Security number. No interview, no ID. Look, if I hadn't seen this myself, I'm not sure I'd have believed it. I went through it myself and mapped it, and Elon is right, this is true. The defaults in the system from Social Security to all of the benefit programs have been set to max inclusion, max pay for these people, and minimum collection. That's what's happening. We found 1.3 million of them already on Medicaid, as an example. We've gone through, on every benefit program we went through, we found groups from this particular group of people, this 5.5 million people, in those benefit programs.
Which brings me to this question. In regard to the Doge exposures of billions in graft and wealth transfer to NGOs and the political elite, has the money flow actually stopped, or is it just being exposed? Some are concerned that with the absence of arrests and or indictments, that this is so big that for the good of the republic, we should just let this go and start anew. Because a long, protracted era of prosecutions would only further widen the political divide and hasten the end of our country. Okay, so first, I talked earlier that about the Doge stuff, that it's not that we're saving all this money. We're saving some. I don't want to be dismissive of that. We're saving some. We're not going to get real spending cuts unless Congress does it, but we're saving some. But there is tremendous value in showing the American people what I just played for you right there. Did you hear the gasps in the crowd? I'm going to play it again. Listen to this. Now, these are informed political people. That's why you'd sit in for a presentation like this. Listen to how they respond.
Once you're in the country and you've got asylum through one of these pathways, and we've mapped the whole thing out, you can apply for a work document. You file a 765. It's the work form. You get this form called the 766. That's the authorization. And then Social Security Administration automatically sends you in the mail your Social Security number. No interview, no ID. Look, if I hadn't seen this myself, I'm not sure I'd have believed it. I went through it myself and mapped it, and Elon is right. This is true. The defaults in the system from Social Security to all of the benefit programs have been set to max inclusion, max pay for these people, and minimum collection. That's what's happening. We found 1.3 million of them already on Medicaid, as an example. We've gone through on every benefit.
You hear the crowd? We fund 1.3 million illegals on Medicaid. Whoa, what? The American people, even informed people, don't know. They don't know that their government is a criminal organization. They don't know. But that brings me to your question. Some are concerned that with the absence of arrests or indictments, that this is so big that for the good of the republic, we should just let this go and start anew. Well, the problem is all the criminals are still in place, you see. That's the problem. I call it a criminal organization, and it's really, really, really important that you think of it as if it's a criminal organization, because it is. So I know you've watched enough mob movies or documentaries or read enough books. You've seen the detective's flow chart where he has the boss and all the capos flowing underneath. And you have this organizational structure of the American mafia with this bad guy and that bad guy who answers to that bad guy and that bad guy. And you've seen this organizational structure. That is what the United States government is, an organized criminal enterprise. A criminal enterprise that has been designed by evil people over the years to steal your money. That's what it's there for. The entire organization is there to enrich themselves and ensure the future enrichment of themselves, setting up scams and schemes just like the American mafia, figuring out a way how they can dip their sticky, grubby fingers in the treasury and pocket what you have earned. That is the job of the United States government in the year 2025. It is an evil criminal organization. Organizations within it, like the FBI, they are the enforcers. They are the leg breakers. They are there to ensure that anyone who gets a little too close to it gets silenced, smeared, thrown in prison. The United States government is a criminal organization. The only way to break up a criminal organization is long, focused effort with arrest after arrest after arrest after arrest after arrest until it is so broken up, so powerless that others don't feel like joining anymore. That is what we must have. We can't do this thing where we just decide, hey, let's let it go. It's too far gone. That's insane because all the same people are still there. It'd be like looking at the Gambino family and say, well, hey, look, if we arrest Gotti, then we're going to have to arrest Sammy the Bull, and then we're going to have to arrest this guy, and then we're going to... It's just too much. Hey, let's move on and act like that other stuff didn't happen, and let's hope he does better in the future. We can't do that. What's happening right now... It's the United States government has become a force for evil. Do you realize that? When they're, look, we make jokes about it, but when they're sending our money overseas for tranny surgeries for kids, that makes our country evil. Evil. America's done evil in the world with our money. Now, you didn't do it. I didn't do it. But our evil government has done it. And evil must be accounted for. Period. End of story. All right. You know what I'm going to do this weekend? I already told you, it's pork butt time in the Kelly household. And no, that doesn't mean we're watching The View. It means I'm smoking some. And I'm going to use my IQ sense. In fact, I got the double. They have singles, doubles, or triples. It's a wireless cooking thermometer that you leave in your meat. And this is the upgraded version. They always, where they've had these for a while, this new probe can handle up to 1,000 degrees, longer battery life, better range on the hub. It hooks up to the app on your phone. When you drop your meat in the oven, the smoker, the grill, you don't ever look at it again. You look at your phone. Or if you don't feel like doing that, you set the desired temperature on your phone, and your phone will tell you when the meat's done. How about that? Go to chefiq.com. That saves you 15% at checkout with the code Jesse. Get an IQ sense. Chefiq.com, code Jesse. We still have an hour. Hang on.
Why should you listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand?
We're not boring. A lot of news is boring.
And tedious.
And depressing.
And makes you angry. You don't want to live your life like that.
Hey, I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty.
We're Armstrong and Getty.
We try to bring you the truth.
And help you figure out this crazy modern world.
How about something about a comedic tone?
We have a winner.
Yes. Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.